Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
There's always a lot of moving parts when it comes to Chicago sports, but right now the Sox are on top, the Cubs are on the verge of rebuilding, Bears training camp is right around the corner, the Olympics start Friday, and to walk us through some of these headlines is amazingly talented Lauren Maggiera, live from WGN TV Sports. What's going on, Lauren?
Hi, Dave. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on.
I can't believe we figured this out.
There was a little... because for people who are listening don't know this, I'm actually at WGN TV station right now. Like, right. I just got off the air on our television station. Yeah. I just hopped in the back and I'm doing radio with you. So technology these days.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And I will tell you something else. Now, Dean does this every morning with Bob Surratt from, I think, the position you're at. So there might be some gin in that desk drawer right there if you just want to warm up.
That's
what the smell is. Exactly.
Well, I walked in here and I'm like, this is like a museum. There's a typewriter in front of me.
No way.
What's happening
in this room? No, there's not a typewriter there, is there?
Yes, there is.
That's crazy. First, congrats on 5 years with GNTV this year. Like, that's, you know, getting to work on your flagship station in your hometown, that's pretty damn cool.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. I can't believe how 5 years can fly. And it's just so wild because I feel like the World Series was just a couple months ago when it was five years ago because my first day at WGN was opening day of the 2016 season.
Oh, that's
season.
Cool.
Right. Oh. So I'm thinking like, oh, you know, maybe I'm going to get eased into the pressure of this job. I had a matter of months covering a World Series that was global news.
But your first year there. Yeah, that is so cool.
It was. It was like no like ease into this really big job that I felt a surmountable amount of pressure. I'm the first female. Yeah. You know, there's all that. It's like, oh, yeah, let's warm up with a World Series.
That's awesome. Well, see, and I know you're a Cubs fan, and I know, you know, you're covering everything in Chicago, but, you know, you're talking 5 years ago, and I love, you know, I love Rizzo and Bryant and everybody. I mean, that's just part of this legacy in Chicago, but we all kind of know in the back of our heads that's some of that's going to come to an end very soon.
Yeah, and it's so wild to think about because while it does feel like so recent, that it happened, it isn't. That was 5 years ago. And you know, there are rumors swirling that there is going to be a rebuild. Now, right. I think the word rebuild is kind of a scary thought because you think it's going to be this like 5 year complete overhaul. And I don't think that is what's going to happen here. I mean, Jed Hoyer said when we walked in 2012 and we realized that this was going to be a really long process to get good, that's not what's likely going to happen here. They don't feel like, you know, at that point, they didn't feel like they had the right pieces together. And now with the players that they have, there's not really a reason that it needs to be a long process. And you know, another thing that Judd said that it was very alarming is they went from buyers to being sellers. That says a lot, that there are going to be some major changes. Now, whatever changes happen along the lines of a rebuild is more going to be, in my opinion, more of a soft rebuild than a total complete teardown. Now, it kind of feels like, you know, the guys like Nico Hoyer, guys like Nico have already been up. You know, he's kind of developed as quickly as possible. We might see some other prospects as well, like Brennan Davis, you know, Braylon Marquez, guys like that. But other prospects that are, you know, still down in the minors, guys who are still developing, Ed Howard, Christian Hernandez, Cole Franklin, those kinds of guys, I think they're still a few years away. We're not going to see them brought up just yet. I think they really need some more time to develop. Now, that does not necessarily mean that they can't build another competitive team sooner than later, but this is what I don't like to talk about.
Yeah.
Who is going to go.
Yeah, I know. And I think about this all the time, like, okay, Bryant and Kimbrel, like, those are the guys that I think might be on the top of their list. And just like with the Hawks, after they won, we saw a lot of these folks go. And I hated it. I hated it every time there was an announcement that someone was being traded. And, you know, that concerns me. And nobody's going to want to see Anthony Rizzo go. They're going to want to see him retire with the team.
Yeah, and that's the thing is I think fans feel like this, but I know, you know, as sports broadcasters, you get attached to the guys that you experienced winning a championship covering the team. And so that's why I don't even like to talk about Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant going, you know, obviously they're both unrestricted free agents after this season. They're both obvious trade candidates. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, who knows, though, what can happen? Guys like Nico Horner, David Bode, Ian Happ, Kyle Hendricks, they're all team controlled or arbitration eligible for the next handful of years. But Javi Baez is a free agent at the end of the season, so he could potentially be brought back. My guess would be if Rizzo and Bryant are gone, though. So a lot of moving pieces. Man, I don't like to see it, but if it means the Cubs cutting back to winning the division you know, avoiding an 11-game skid,
changes
have to be made.
Absolutely. And I don't think, you know, like people always want to also go to the coach of the team, the manager of the team. And I don't think you blame David Ross for any of this. You know, no. It's kind of what he's working with right now, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is it is crunch time for the organization. That, you know, I think that they're planning to do a quick turnover and a quick return to the top. You know, I think that's going to buy Jed Hoyer a lot of grace with the fans and probably turn down the heat on ownership as well. Yeah, yeah. So everyone, you know, we believe in Theo Epstein. Everyone loved Theo Epstein. He was able to do incredible things with this organization. Let's not discount Jed Hoyer as well. I'm really curious to see what he's able to do with this roster.
Here's the bottom line. Great to see people in the stands at Wrigley.
Yeah. You know, here's the thing. I have to drive by Wrigley Field to get to WGN every day, so I hate that in that sense when I'm trying to get to work.
Yeah.
But I, you know, all the games I've been to lately, I just sit in the stands. I mean, as a fan, you know, sit there and look around, and I swear I will never take that for granted again.
No, absolutely not. What's your beer of choice at Wrigley? Is it a traditional thing? Is it a family thing?
No, not necessarily. You know what? It depends on the mood I'm in. I got the Cubberita. The Cubs Arita the other day. Yeah. It was actually a surprise. I was kind of hesitant because I was afraid it was going to be too sweet. It was actually pretty good.
Wow. Wow. See, now if I'm not going down like to the club, I will do an old fashioned, which I feel odd in a baseball game.
Go down to the club. Who do you think you are? Wow. Wait, okay, Rich.
All right. But
us poor people.
But no, let's
up
get out of here.
300 level.
No, get out of here. But here's the thing, though. I will go get an old style. I will beeline it because you have to seek that out at Wrigley.
Do.
You cannot find that. And I will absolutely.
I always say I'm going to get an old style. Like, you have to get a hot dog when you're at Wrigley Field.
Oh, yeah.
You have to get an old style. It's actually harder to find in the ballpark than you'd think.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is.
And that's unfortunate. I got a Stella after my Cubs Arita because I was like, where's the old style?
It's fancy. The Stella's fancy.
In the 300 level, not in the club.
All right. We're talking to Lauren Maggiore from WGN TV Sports, and there's more with her next on 720 WGN. For a ball game today. You know what? That song meant WGN Cubs was going to begin. You know, that was the big theme song. You're probably too young for that, Lauren.
I was going to say, I've never heard that song.
No, get out of here. Get out of here. You're full of it.
Kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about the Cubs. Sox. Okay, so they're in first place. Were they 8 games in front of Cleveland? Can they hang on to this?
I think so, and I sure hope so. And you know what? Here's the thing, Dave. You called me a Cubs fan earlier. I will say that's not inaccurate because I am a Cubs fan.
Okay.
I am also a Sox fan, and I understand that is a very unpopular statement to make in this city.
A little bit, yeah.
I will say this. When the Cubs were really good, I couldn't afford to go to the games. So I'm buying $8 tickets to the White Sox games because I'm a baseball fan.
You're a sports fan. Absolutely.
Right.
No question.
And so
I
would go to Sox games all the time, and the more I'm going to these Sox games, I'm like, wow, this ballpark's really clean. Wow, it smells like cinnamon in here because of the churros. Wow, these bathrooms are really nice. Man, I really like Ricky Renteria.
All right.
Like, these players are really great guys. So I found myself going to more Sox games than I do Cubs games because
that's
they were more affordable.
All right, that's fair. All right,
so
that's fair.
So I understand it's an unpopular belief and a very dangerous thing to say in this city, but I will say, I like the White Sox as well. And that is a new development. That isn't like within the last 5 years.
All right. See, now there's texters coming in pretty much calling BS.
I'm getting hate on that. I'm getting so much hate.
Just a little bit.
Well, how about you keep that hate because I'm at the station. So
yeah, I'll hold on to it here. Yeah, I won't say it. I won't say it out loud.
I'm a complete
anymore hack. That's no problem.
Self-admittedly, yeah.
It's all good. Here's
the thing. I really hope the White Sox can hold on to it. You know, for the most part, there were some moves today, and it kind of represented a retooling of the bullpen with Aaron Bummer returning from his stay on the injured list and Jace Fry and Matt Foster sent to AAA. And the Sox recalled Ronaldo Lopez as well. You know, so he's going to kind of pitch as in the White Sox relief corps. Now, if you can remember, he was pitching as a starter in Charlotte, but he posted like a 7.62 ERA in like 39 innings across 10 starts or something. Now, Lopez at one point, if you can remember, was the part of the White Sox rebuild, and he was supposed to be one of the team's promising young starting pitchers. And he had a solid 2018 season, but then he really struggled, and he didn't really ever find consistency in 2019 and 2020, like a over a 5 ERA and 41 starts or something, you know, throughout those 2 years. But he came into spring training, and he really had the chance to win that final spot in the rotation. But as we all know, Carlos Rodon ran away with that job. And I think that that was a very well-earned job. Of course, he put up a no-hitter, was an all-star this season. But it's really interesting to see the roller coaster that the White Sox have been through with injuries, with guys being sent down, with guys being recalled, you know, with what they've been able to do with the roster and how good they've been able to stay.
And pull it off. I know with the injuries, especially with the injuries.
Yeah. Like, you're supposed to take a little bit of a dip when you get hit that bad with injuries. Yeah. And your replacements are so good. They're DFAing guys.
Yeah.
I think it's really interesting to see what they've been able to do. And I think it's a testament to Rick Hahn and the calculated level that he had in this rebuild. He was planning out for so many years, and he had so many different layers of reassurance for things like this to happen. And it's just really impressive to see it paying off. Here's the thing. Rick Hahn will never say it paid off until he is celebrating on Michigan Avenue with the World Series Championship Parade. He says that. But I think at this halfway point in the season, this is a pretty fair spot in the season to say, to look back and be like, okay, we're doing all right.
Yeah.
Our heads are above water.
Yeah. But they're way above water.
What?
They're way above water.
Right.
Yeah.
I just really hope they can keep it up because I want to go to another World Series.
There you go.
And I want another World Series championship brought to the city.
Yeah, it's not going to be on the north side this year, obviously.
Not this year.
Bears training camp coming up. Just really briefly about this. Are you excited about the season now that we've got some new prospects as a quarterback that can really actually make a difference on the field?
Well, here's the thing. I am the most naive optimist there is, so I get excited every year.
Okay.
Every year I get excited. Yeah. But now even more.
Right.
You know, with Dalton being brought in, I was like, interesting choice. Mm-hmm. Okay, this will be interesting, I think is the word I would put it. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, when they went up for Justin Fields, that's just a complete celebration. That is a slam dunk. The Bears finally have their quarterback.
Okay.
And he's not going to start week one, but he is such a competitive kind of guy. Day one of training camp, he is going to be fighting to compete for that starting spot. Dalton's got a target on his back because Fields is fighting for his job.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Which is good. I think that's good for the game, good for the team.
It's good for Dalton. It's good for Fields.
Absolutely.
It's good for the Bears. It's good for Chicago. It's good for me because I want to cover a winning team.
There you go. I got you. Well, speaking of which, you know, a little bit about you. I love like seeing some of your social media stuff. Like you're a huge fisherman. Like I cannot believe like how much you are into that sport. You went to University of Alaska in Anchorage. So you got to experience that on a whole different level.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've always been really into the outdoors. I'm from Barrington, and we grew up in a house surrounded by wood, so I was always outside, you know, climbing trees and building forts and doing all sorts of stuff outside. And so when I moved to Alaska, I mean, that is like taking steroids for someone who loves the outdoors. I mean, it just completely propelled me into a completely different world of what the outdoors is. And I love fishing and hiking and camping so much, and it's just, I mean, that is like the Mecca. Like, that's just the place you go when you want to go fly fishing. But I love all kinds of fishing. I think that, like, my main attraction is fly fishing for rainbow trout. That's fun. But I love filling my freezer by salmon fishing. I just went, a couple weeks ago, I was in Seward, Alaska, deep sea fishing. So caught a bunch of halibut, caught a bunch of black bass and rockfish. And so now my freezer's full of halibut cheeks right now.
That's awesome. I love it.
Awesome. There's something about the outdoors that just gives me life.
There's an excitement in your face, like when I just see your pictures posted, like holding a fish or whatever. I'm like, man, this is where she is and wants to be.
Cloud
absolutely.
Nine.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And then, you know, I lived in Wisconsin for about 5 years and I hosted a hunting and fishing show there as well. And I like all the outdoors that Wisconsin has to offer. You can't go fly fishing for salmon or gorgeous, huge rainbow trout and glacial fed rivers in Wisconsin, but you can catch some good walleye. You can catch a muskie.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can shoot a turkey and fill your freezer with turkey jerky.
I love that. How often do you make it back to Alaska? I mean, is that a couple times a year?
So I lived there for 8 years. Mm-hmm. And when I moved away, I don't think I've gone 1 year without going back.
Oh, that's great.
Last year, with the pandemic going on, there was nothing to do and nowhere to go. And tickets to Alaska were $100.
Oh,
so
my God.
I went like 15 times last year.
Good for you. That's awesome.
And I would just, you know, It was always nerve-wracking flying during the pandemic, obviously, but Alaska Airlines did such a good job of making you feel safe. And then when I'd get up there, I'm in the mountains, so I'm not exposed to anything.
But this was the one time in life, too. Were you doing sports reports from up there?
You know, no. But I was working from home. And so, yeah. And I didn't have any weddings. I didn't have any vacations. Like, everything that I had planned for the whole year was completely canceled.
Yeah.
So I used every single day I had off up there.
That's awesome.
So I just went fishing and hiking and camping. And one of my favorite adventures I went on last summer was we got helicoptered into the wilderness. And when we're in the helicopter, we're looking down. I mean, I can see grizzly bears roaming through the waters and moose. And we got dropped off into the wilderness. And we spent 2 days rafting out, and we just camped each night. And the whole rafting trip out is just casting all day long, fish after fish after fish. It was one of my favorite trips. And, of course, it was summer, so it's 24-hour daylight. It was incredible. The amount of wildlife we saw, the amount of fish we caught. It was kind of dangerous. One of our rafts capsized.
Oh, you.
And we lost a lot of our gear, which is unfortunate because it's not like we can just go to the store or hike out. We have to continue the rafting trip out for another day and a half.
Yeah.
So, you know, you never have to underestimate the danger that Alaska offers, but the beauty and how much fun and just the freedom that you have up there and just how impeccable the outdoors is there.
Well, I have to say, first of all, you're just so damn cool. And I love what you do. I love watching you on the weekends. You can catch Lauren, so nice. Weekend sports anchor, and throughout the week on GN Sports weeknights at 10:30. That was a blast, and I really look forward to doing this again.
Absolutely. Hey, I'm here on Friday nights.
I love it. Yeah, me too. Let's do it.
Let's do it anytime.
All right. Thanks, Lauren. Take care.
Thank you so
much.
Have
a great weekend. All right.